All right, let's take our Bible this morning and go over the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 13 this morning. 1 Kings chapter 13. A joy to be in the Lord's house today. Amen. Good to be here today. I'll ask you to go ahead and stand. Go ahead, Brother Jeff. It's all right. Amen. He's ready to go. I mean, you're talking about it won't be long. Amen. We're going to have some fun with that one for a while. Amen. He's ready to go. But I don't want to get in too big of a hurry, but I want you to... We all know we've got some places we need to be, but I don't want to lose sight of what we're about to do right here. And that's to preach for a little while and to give you something that I hope that you need and can use. And I believe this would be the message for the hour today. God knows who's here. And He's been dealing with my heart about this message all week. And I had to try to decide whether it was for me personally or for you. And come to find out, most of the time it's for all of us. Amen. And all of us can use it. But when I look at this stuff, first of all, I try to really figure out, is God want me to preach it or is He just trying to teach me something? The Word of God, because I've got in a very bad habit of when I read and I study, I'm always looking for a message. I'm always looking for something. And I have to preach. And sometimes God ain't want me to preach it. He's wanting me to understand some things for myself. And when you read, I believe He'll do us that way. But 1 Kings chapter 13, let's begin to read in verse 1. And the Bible says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born in the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee. And men's bones shall be burned upon thee. He gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it back again to him. And the altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me again. Boy, I mean, his tune changed pretty fast, didn't it? He was against the man of God, but now that his hand is withered and dried up, he's asked the man of God to pray for him that his hand would be restored, his arm would be. The man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. Now, let me stop right here and say, if we read that on face value and didn't read the rest, you would think that the man of God was just being a smart aleck and was not going to do anything for the king, and he was just shooting off his mouth, maybe. I wouldn't go. If you give me half your house, I wouldn't go. But notice what he said right here in verse 9, For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that came to Bethel, that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all that the works of the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they also told also to their father. And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, Come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. And the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, It is the man of God whom was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. You can be seated this morning. Lord, we love you. I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you would encourage us while we might preach now for just a little while. Lord, you know and realize I want to be very time conscious today, but I don't want to get in such a hurry that we miss what we need to preach today and what these dear people and what I need to see. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to have our heart and our mind focused on the Word of God. Thank you for Calvary. I thank you for saving us and keeping us. And Lord, if there's somebody here lost, I pray you might save them. Encourage them to get saved and move upon their heart. And Lord, while we preach, touch us now. Help the one that needs help and meet with us now. Save that sinner's nearest tale for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I preach this morning, I always want you to remember one thing while I preach is that if you're lost, the Lord will save you today. And I want you to understand that. It don't matter what you've done, where you've been, and who you are. If you're lost, Jesus wants to save you. That's why he went to Calvary, and he died so that you can get saved. What was it? Luke 19 and 10 said, For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm glad today that he'll save sinners and then change them and make a difference in their life. But in this passage of Scripture, we look and we find that God is sending the man of God. And by the way, you'll find that terminology 15 times, the man of God, in this chapter. And what's going on right here is you find that you've got a split kingdom. You've got two southern tribes and 10 northern tribes. And Jeroboam is the king over the northern tribes. God has made him king. As a matter of fact, before God rent the kingdom away from Solomon and his son, he had already told Jeroboam, I'm going to give you 10 tribes. And so he did. And so God gave them to Jeroboam for him to be king. And Jeroboam, in his wisdom, and I say that a little facetiously today, he said, if I let them go back down to Jerusalem and worship down in Jerusalem, they'll be turned back to King Rehoboam, and they won't stay with me. So what he done is he set up idol worship in Bethel and in Dan. And so this is what's going on right here, is they have idol worship. And if you look in the prior chapter, you'll find out that he's made men priests of the lowest sort, and also those that were not of the tribe of Levi, he's made priests. And as a matter of fact, he's burning incense at the altar of God himself, which is something he shouldn't know. Well, it wasn't the altar of God, but at the altar that he shouldn't even been messing with to start with. And so this is where we pick up at, and we see what's happening. God sends the man of God down there to preach against what's going on. Can I say that first of all, real quick this morning, that we'll see the plan of God. We see the plan of God. I guess I'll tell you what I'm preaching on, by the way. See, I've gotten in such a hurry, it won't be long. Amen. I got in such a hurry, I forgot to tell you what I'm preaching on. Listen, if you notice in this passage of Scripture, you notice that the man of God had a good start, but he had a bad finish. And you know, you see that all through the Bible, men that have a good start, but a bad finish. You know, Solomon had a good start, but a bad finish. Noah had a good start, but you know the last thing we see in Genesis chapter 9 over there about Noah? He planted a vineyard and got drunk. Didn't turn out real good right there. They some things happened in Genesis 9 and I ain't exactly sure about, but I know it wasn't good. You look at King Asa over there in the book of 1 Kings, and you'll find out the Bible said that his heart was perfect before the Lord, and he followed him just like David did. But when you get to the end over there, he had done some things that he shouldn't have done. God sent the man of God over there to preach to him, and he put him in prison, and he oppressed his own people. And when his feet got diseased, the Bible said that he sought after the physicians and not after God. You find a man by the name of Demas in the New Testament and in the book of Philemon. You'll find that Paul called him his fellow helper. In the book of Colossians, he talks about Demas, that he was there with him. But when you get to 2 Timothy, he said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." And so he had a good start, but not such a good finish. And that's what I want us to see while I preach this morning. There's three main people in these verses. The man of God, King Jeroboam, and the old prophet. And I'm going to deal mainly with the man of God, but as we go through here, we'll see some things about these other two. First of all, number one, we see the... Let me say this before I get started again. It'll be the third time I've started now. You don't have to finish bad. You can start good and finish good. You know, we preach on that so much about finishing bad that we think everybody's just going to finish bad. No, you don't have to. What was it Paul said on the book of 2 Timothy? "I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Hey, he said, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown." Hey, when he got to the end of this thing, he was going to finish right. I think that ought to be mine and yours' desire today, is to finish right. Start good and finish good. And let me say this, if you didn't start good, that's one thing, but you can always finish good. Amen. Number one this morning, we see as we read this chapter, we see the plan of God. Notice what it said right here. It said that the man of God came out of Judah over here in verse 1 by the word of the Lord. God gave him some direction as to what he was supposed to do. Aren't you glad today that God will give you direction in your life and how to serve Him? I'm glad today that we've got a book in front of us, and I'm glad there's a Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us, that directs us and guides us with the Word of God in the way that we are to serve Him. The man of God, God had a plan for him. I'm not a Calvinist, don't misunderstand me, but I really do believe God's got a plan for your life. I believe God's got a plan for your life today. I believe He's got a plan for your life for the rest of your life. I believe He's got a will for you that you need to be trying to follow and do. But right here, God said, "I want you," He says to the man of God, He said, "I want you to go down to Bethel and I want you to preach this message and back to the king." And so what does he do? He gets up, he leaves Judah, he goes down to Bethel, and the Bible said in verse 2, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord. So God had gave him a message. Why he goes down there? He gives him some direction, and in the direction, he gives him a message when he gets down there. The preacher, you know, God don't send you somewhere without a message. If God sends you somewhere to witness to somebody, He's give you the gospel and that you can tell them that Jesus loves them and died for them, and that they can get saved. He's gave you what you need to serve Him out here. This way. He's gave me what I need to serve Him. You know, we talk about serving the Lord in here, but I'll be honest with you, our service is really out there. We come in here to worship. We come in here to learn. Believe it or not, church, we come in here to get refreshed and to rest and just to get ready to go again for another week. Amen. Can I ask this morning, do you find it restful when you come to church? I find it a little restful sometimes to find a little help along the way. So here he goes. He goes and he cries out against the altar over there. God allowed him. God gave him the message. You know what he went over and said? He said, "Oh, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born in the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee." He said, "Look, all your priests, Josiah the king, he's going to be the one that offers you upon that altar right there." He couldn't prove that. That might have seemed like a far-fetched thing that was going to happen later on down the road. But you know what he said right here? And this will be the sign. He said the altar's fixing to be rent. The ashes are fixing to pour out up on the ground to prove what's going to happen. By the way, if you go on over and you read in 2 Kings and in the book of Chronicles, you'll find that there was a man by the name of Josiah. As he was cleaning things up over there in Bethel, the Bible said that he went over there and he spied the sepulchres of the priests that had all offered up on this altar right here, and he had them dug up and burned on that altar over there. God has a way of making things come true, don't he? Amen. God's got a way of working things out in your life, whether good or bad. God has a way of making those things happen. But he said, here's going to be the sign to prove to you what I'm telling you is the truth. He said, what's going to happen? He said, the altar's going to be rent and the ashes are going to be poured out. And boy, I'm telling you, the king got so mad at him when he preached that, when he preached that message. Now, he had to know that he was wrong. He had to know that he was wrong. The king had to know he was wrong. He knew what God had told him. He knew what the law said, but yet he had set up that idol worship over there. I listened to a preacher the other day, and he was preaching about King David. Over there in 2 Samuel 11 and 12 when he had sinned on God. And boy, he was doing a wonderful job on that. But he talked about, you know, David, he didn't do anything about his sin until Nathan came over and preached the message to him. He said, do you not reckon that David knew that he wasn't right? And one of the things he said is sometimes people convince themselves in their mind that what they're doing is okay. That what they're doing has been all right and God has looked over that. I've got a preacher friend of mine. I've not talked to him in a little while. He done the same thing. He was cheating on his wife while he was pastoring his church. And he said, he told me this. He said, I compartmentalized that and shoved it all off to one side and kept on doing what I was doing. You know, that stuff eventually catches up with you. Do you know that sin catches up with you? Some way, somehow, it catches up with you. God has a way of doing that stuff. And so the king, he reaches out his hand against the preacher, if you would. And he's wanting him taken. Notice what he said, lay hold on him. I'm telling you, he was getting very, I never understood why people get mad at the preacher. If I'm just giving you the book, or anybody else is giving you the book, why do you get mad? Why would I get mad? If I sat right there in that front row and one of these men in here come and preach, and boy, I mean just hammer on something that I need to be doing that I ain't, or I'm doing something that I shouldn't be doing, why would I get mad at the preacher? If he's minded God, if he's prayed and sought God, see, because you can't get mad at God. See, if you got mad at God and you shook your fist to heaven and said, God, I ain't going to do that, then you would know for sure that you're in rebellion. But yet you could get mad at the preacher, you see. There's a lot of people gets mad at the preacher sometimes because of the truth of God's Word. If you won't get mad at me, get mad at me over something else, but don't get mad at me over the truth of God's Word, amen. Man, I'm just being honest. And so he gets mad and he reaches out against the preacher and God had a plan right here. And so he went down and he preached. And notice right here that he done it in the midst of adversity. He had to know that the king was not going to like the message of what was going to be preached. He had to know, here stands the king and that burning incense on this altar. And he's saying, God's going to destroy what you have set up, king. And so sure enough, that happened. Verse 5, the Bible said the altar also was rent and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. I want you to see something else. God's plan was not only for him to go down to Bethel. God's plan was not only for him to preach that message. But if you look down in verse 9, he said, for so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, drink no water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. God's plan was for him to not eat any bread there, don't drink no water there, and don't go back the way that you came. You say, why would God do that? I ain't got a clue why God done that. I ain't got a clue why God gave him them instructions. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things I don't understand. But I do know that he knew what God had told him to do. We know what God had told him to do. And he said in verse 9, "For so he's charged me by the word of the Lord." Just seems like such a simple thing, don't it? Don't eat here, don't drink here, and don't go back the way you came. Very simple, ain't it? I thought about that while I was studying this. That what God told him to do was a very simple thing to do. Go down there and preach. When you get done, don't go back the way you came. Don't stop to eat. Don't stop to drink. Just go back. That's what he told him to do. I thought about a story that a friend of mine told me one time. He said him and another boy had been witnessing to some boys on the job. There was two others. Two men had been witnessing to two other men. And he said, we took break out back. And he said it was kind of in a cubby hole around some equipment. And he said, we basically went back there and, you know, you were hid from everybody, basically. And he said, we've been witnessing to these two boys trying to get them saved. And he said, we was back there eating lunch one day and talking to them about getting saved. And he said, here all of a sudden, a fellow drives up in a company truck in the back there, jumps out of the truck, red-faced as red-faced could be, stood there and preached to us for 5 minutes, and then got back in the truck and left. You said, God don't do, yeah, God does do things like that too. He said, he come out of nowhere and preached to us, and then left and went nowhere. You know, God's got a way of doing things. Now, let me ask you something. Reckon what about that old boy that was in that company truck that had to pull up and find them fellas sitting out here and going to preach to them for 5 minutes on the job? I mean, this is a great big company that employs like 5,000 people, you know. Now, think about what was going through his mind. God's telling him, hey, you need to stop right here and preach the message to these four fellas that's sitting out back right here. See, God knew what they needed. I'm telling you, I've messed it up a couple times over the years. I have. Not stopping and doing what I needed to do when God said to do it. Argue with God about what He wants, knowing that if you just go on and do what He would want, God would be there and that God would work. I mean, God had a plan. But then we see the power of God in the man of God's life. What do you mean? Well, the king raises his hand to him. His hand begins to wither. And you know what he said? He said, pray for me that my hand would be restored. And you know what he done? He prayed. And you know what God done? He restored it. The man of God come and act with power. He was able and act to speak to God and talk to God in his prayer life. And he was able to move God by how he prayed and what he prayed. Don't you want to move God when you pray? Don't you want to be in such a place that when you kneel down to pray and you bow your head or wherever you're at that you're crying out to God, that God hears and God will answer your prayer? I do. But I don't want to pray. I listen, with just vain repetition and just hoping that God heard me. Not only did he have the power and that to pray and God hear and God answer, but man, when he preached, what he preached come true. He just wasn't telling some idle tale. He just wasn't telling some story. What was he doing? He said, what I'm telling you is the truth. And he said, that altar's fixing to be rent and the ashes are going to pour out. And the Bible said right here in verse 5, the altar also was rent and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Come to pass. Come to pass. Don't you want to be so in touch with God that the message that you're carrying and that you're telling, I know that not everybody sitting in here is a preacher. I understand that, but I'm talking about having power with Him. That friend that when He sends you out, you're prayed up, He's heard you in the message that you're carrying and what you're telling can be used and that for the glory of God. What I want you to see is that the man of God was being used by God. And he was being used by God greatly. But then number 3, we come to the problem. Was the king the problem? He was a problem, but he wasn't the problem. He had set up idol worship.
He had held his hand out against the man of God, which, by the way, you better be careful who you hold your hand out against. If you remember in the book of 1 Samuel over there, after David had cut off the skirt of Saul over there, and they wanted David to kill Saul, the Bible said, here's what he said, "The Lord forbid me that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord." David said, "I'm not going to touch him. I'll let God handle this thing. I'll let God take care." You remember, is that not what they said over there? What Gideon's father said about Gideon? They wanted to go out there and kill Gideon because he had destroyed the altar of Baal. And he said, if Baal is a god, then let him do it himself. You better be careful who you hold your hand out against. It'll get you in trouble. But let me say this before I move on. Reckon how much the man of God loved God and wanted to follow God, because he was willing to go down there and God was willing to use him as he went. And he's obeyed up until now. But there's a problem. Verses 7 through 9, "And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place." The king wasn't a problem. He tried to get him to go home, but he wouldn't do it. So he avoided that problem. But then in verse 11, we come to part of the story that talks about, in verse 11, "Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel." Now, let me ask you this question. Why didn't God use that old prophet to go down there and cry against the altar of God? Think about that for just a second. There was already a preacher in town. Why didn't God use that preacher? Now, God may have had his reasons. Maybe he wanted to see if the young man of God, I'll call him the young man of God, maybe he wanted to see if the man of God was going to follow him and go do what he wanted to do. Maybe he just wanted to use him. Maybe the man of God wanted to be used so much that God said, "Hey, I've got a job for you. You go down there to Bethel." But I often wonder why God, why he didn't use the old prophet to go down there and cry against the altar in Bethel. Was the old prophet in a place that where he could even be used of God? Well, what makes you say that, preacher? If you notice right here, it says that when he went down to him in verse 18, he told him all these things, but he lied unto him. It seemed such like a big thing for the old prophet to lie to the young preacher, did it? The old prophet was a problem, but he wasn't the problem. If you look in verse 15, as he goes down and he finds the man of God. And I thought about this, what it said right here, that his sons came home and told him. Now notice in verse 11, "The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they also told to their father." Do you think that he just told the king, "Hey, there's going to be another king by the name of Josiah going to burn the priest on this altar"? I'm sure they told him that. You reckon they said, "Hey, king, this is what he told the king, that the altar is going to be rent, the ashes are going to be poured out, and that happened." But he also told the king that he can't stop here, he can't go back home the way that he came, and that he can't eat and he can't drink here. You reckon they told him that? Notice what the Bible says. "Then he said unto him," he's found him under that oak tree, "and he said, Come home with me and eat bread." I almost think that old prophet already knew that he wasn't supposed to do that. I can't prove that exactly, but I think he knew that. I think they had told him that. But here he goes. He goes out and he goes to him. He said, "I want you to come home and eat bread with me and drink and come home." And he said, "I may not return with thee nor go with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it's told me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest." How many times has he said that? That prophet, that man of God, has said that multiple times in this passage of Scripture. He knew what God had told him to do. How many of us know what God wants us to do in our life? Ain't that a good question? How many of us know that? I'm not trying to beat up on us this morning. I know that God's will sometimes gets a little dark, if I can say that. And it gets a little we get unsure about things. I mean, you're looking at a man that's been unsure. And doubt creeps in. But this old boy right here, he said it multiple times. I can't go back the way I came, and I can't eat here, and I can't drink here. He knew. So, the problem turned in here in verse 18. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. You got to be careful. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee unto thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Well, see, preacher, the old prophet was the problem. No, he was a problem. He wasn't the problem. Yes, he lied to him. And you see the problem right here that's fixing to get him in trouble. It was not the king that got him in trouble, but it was the old preacher. Y'all follow that right there? I'm not telling you to beware of every old preacher. I'm not telling you to beware of every old person because there's a lot of old-timers that's got some stuff. But right here, this is what gets him in trouble. Look in verse 19. So he went back with him. What was the problem? The problem was that the man of God disobeyed the word of God. That was the problem. He didn't inquire of God. He didn't ask God. Just because the old preacher said, hey, this is the way it needs to be. This is what you need to do. He didn't ask God nothing. Well, preacher, you know, God didn't speak down from... God hadn't changed his mind. He told that young man, he said, I told you, when you go down there, don't go back the way you came. Don't eat nothing here. Don't drink nothing here. You know something? I've learned something about the Lord. When He wants you to know something, He'll let you know it. Amen. When He wants you to know something new, He'll give you something. I'm going to tell you, I've learned something about the book right here. It don't change what He says. He don't change what He said. And God very seldom changes His mind. What was the problem? The man of God disobeyed the Word of God. And you know what our problem is? When we disobey the Word of God. That's our problem. What was it that he said in the book of 1 Samuel over there when Samuel was talking to King Saul when he had been down to kill the Amalekites and brought back all the sheep and the oxen and brought back King Achak and all that? And Samuel, what was it that he told Samuel over there? He said, we brought all this back by the sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. Samuel says, stand right here and let me go talk to the Lord about some things. That's what the young man, that's what the man of God should have said to the old preacher over here. He said, you stand right here while I slip off over here and talk to the Lord and see if you're telling me the truth or not. He told King Saul, you stand still for just a minute and I'll tell you what God has to say. We get so wound up sometimes in listening to everybody else that if we ain't careful, we'll miss what God's trying to teach us. And trying to tell us. Amen? Amen. All right. Y'all with me this morning? All right. That's good. Seeing some amens are shaking their head. All right. The man of God's disobedience, what did he say? What did he tell King Saul over there? He said, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and hearken than the fat of rams. He said, I know you brought them back to sacrifice, or at least that's what you told me you brought them back for. But he said, I'm telling you right now, God sent you down there to kill all them people, to kill them sheep and to kill them oxen. And he said, that's what God wanted you to do. Sometimes we think we know better than God. And I have to be very careful with that. I have to be very careful with that. I think I know better than God. But the man of God, his problem was his disobedience. Was it Peter that said over there, he said we ought to obey God rather than men? The man of God would have been well better served if he would have just said, just stand still for just a second and let me inquire of God. Let me talk to him for just a second. But notice what the Bible said in verse 19. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. The three things that God said don't do, he did. I underlined these in my Bible. He went back. God said, don't go back the way you came. Very first thing he done, went back. Notice what the Bible said. He ate bread and drank water. God said, don't do these things. And he done them. He disobeyed God. Preacher, that is, and as I sat here and I studied this and I looked over this, I would ask myself these questions. And I'd ask God these questions while I studied this. Lord, that was just such an easy thing for you to tell him to do and for him to do, but it was a light thing. What do you mean it was a light? I told the Lord, I said, Lord, all he done was went back and drank water and ate bread. It's not the fact of the action so much as it was the fact that he disobeyed God. You understand what I'm saying? He didn't commit some vile sin. He didn't go out and commit murder. He didn't cheat on his wife. I mean, he didn't do any of these things. All he done is he went back and he drank water and he ate bread. Just wouldn't seem like that would be such a big deal, would it? Except he said over in verse 9, for so it was charged to me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink water nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. God said, don't do that. You remember in the book of Acts when the Apostle Paul was going to go over into Asia and preach over in Asia, but they were forbid by the Holy Spirit to do that. Seemed like such a good thing for the Apostle Paul and those folk that was with him to go over and preach the gospel. Right? I mean, that seemed like such a good thing to do, would be to go over and preach. But he said we were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to go do those things. God had another plan. Number four, look at the penalty. They're sitting at the dinner table, and God uses the old prophet one more time. He cried out and said, you're not going to make it. He said, because you came back in verse 22, you've eaten bread and drunk water, of which the Lord did say unto thee, eat no bread, drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. There was a penalty for that. What happens? He gets headed home, and what finds him by the way? And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way. He said, well, there wasn't nobody could defeat a lion anyway. Let me give you two things that I thought about that. One, yes, there was. David killed a lion and a bear, grabbed him by the beard. That's how close he got to him. And he slew the bear and the lion. So don't tell me that. But had the man of God been where he was supposed to be at, he wouldn't have been where the lion was. Right? When we're where we're supposed to be at, we wouldn't necessarily be where something can destroy us is. But when we're somewhere where we don't belong and we got held up, there's something that may be able to get us. There was a penalty. Can I tell you that the lion is after you? Look right here. Verse 24, and when he was gone, the lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. The lion was not hungry. The lion didn't eat him. The lion just killed him. The carcass was laying there. As a matter of fact, that old donkey was still standing there. He didn't kill the donkey. All he done was kill the man of God and left his carcass, left his body laying there, and then stood there over it. Can I tell you today the one thing that the devil wants to do to you is he just wants to kill you. He does not have to eat you up. And he wants to devour us. I understand that. But if he can kill you, then he's doing his job. Seemed like such a little thing for the man of God to go back to the old prophet's house that told him that God said this, but God hadn't said. And yet God punished him for that. I don't understand the mind of God. But I know God had told him, don't you go back, don't you eat bread here, don't you drink here. It's such a little thing, preacher, for me to go do this. Yeah, it may be such a little thing to you, but if God's already said, hey, this is what you need to do and not do, you better obey God. Say, why? Number five, look at the purpose of all this. Verse 25. And behold, the man And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. They come back, and the old prophet already knew, because he said, it is the man of God who is disobedient unto the word of the Lord. You know, the Bible said that men pass by. You know, when we disobey God and God chastens us or chastises us or penalty comes or we're reaping out what we've sowed, do you realize that other people see that? You know, when we mess up, other people see that. What kind of glory does that bring to the Lord when other people see us mess up and do something that we weren't supposed to do? It don't bring much glory. And the Lord, as a matter of fact, Nathan told David over there in 1 Samuel chapter 12, he said, you gave great occasion for the enemy to blaspheme God. He said, look, David, they all know that you're the sweet psalmist of Israel, that you love God. And said, now they're going to point at you and say, look at him. And he says he loves God, but look at what he does. Do you realize that the purpose of obedience is so that God can get glory out of our life and to keep us out of trouble? That's the purpose for obedience in following God. It started out good. It just didn't finish good.